Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Lowe's knows when you're looking for reliability, the right brand makes all the difference. And now, Lowe's is the exclusive home improvement retailer for the Whirlpool water treatment line, including their Wi-Fi softener, under-sink filtration system, and more. With Whirlpool's proven performance and our everyday low prices, better tasting, better quality water is within reach. Shop pro-trusted brands like Whirlpool and more, in-store or online. Lowe's. We help. You save.
Okay, guess what we're starting with, Luke?
Today, I want to speak with you about coronavirus.
Is that what we're starting with? That's Melania Trump addressing the nation. Yes.
We're starting with an email about the coronavirus.
Oh, we email.
Oh. A wee email, yeah.
Is it the wee email?
It's a pretty big email.
So a wee email. This one is from Dina or Dana. There is no pronunciation.
Dina.
No, it's D-E-N-A.
Dina.
Dina.
Dina. It says, hello. Hey, guys. I just wanted to say how much I love this podcast.
Aww, thanks.
Thank you.
It's very kind. It has really rekindled my love for the science, as my past few teachers have not been the best. Also, school has been cancelled for the next month because of the coronavirus, so and re-listening to your podcast has kept me quite occupied.
Hell, cool. Yeah.
That was a long sentence.
Although all the exams have been cancelled, so...
Yeah.
Well, I hear instead of doing your exams, you could just listen to all the Sci Guys episodes.
Ah, yeah.
And then that's the equivalent
put
of doing your exams.
Put that down on your uni application. They'll let you,
you
in.
Could.
Yeah.
What if we even do episodes about exams so that people can just, you know, say they've done
them?
Yes, so you don't need to do them at all. You just hand in those episodes and say, hello, I've done them.
Hello, I've listened to this.
I've done it. Anyway, even though Luke's tangents do often lead me down a bit of an existential crisis, I couldn't be more grateful for this show. Keep doing what you do. Much love, Dina.
Should I stop?
Thanks, Dina.
No, don't stop. Don't do it. You're doing another one right now. Shall we start the show? Hello and welcome to The Sci Guys, the show where we talk about the crazy, weird, and wonderful stories from the science world.
I thought you were going to say the show where we talk about the coronavirus.
Well, it is. This time it is.
Yes. Yes. Carry on.
I'm Corey, and as always, I'm joined by my co-hosts, Jamp and Luke Cutforth.
Hello.
Hi.
This week, we'll be talking about the coronavirus again. We're doing
Hello,
it again.
Today, 2. I would like to talk to you about the coronavirus.
Although, in the time that we've, since we've done it, it's got a new name now. So the disease is now called COVID-19.
COVID-19, that is true.
Indeed.
Can I point out, last time that we did a coronavirus episode, we made predictions about how long it would last.
Yeah, I said it would be like 2 weeks.
You said two weeks.
I think it'll be 2 weeks and we'll have this all wrapped up.
I said 2 months and we recorded that episode 2 months ago. So
We're both wrong.
We're both wrong.
Yay.
Did I not say anything?
I can't remember what you said.
I don't know. Someone tell us what Luke said. But look, realistically, in this sense, I thought it would be a couple of weeks because I thought the governments might, you know, actually do something.
Be competent.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, China managed to wrap it up in about a month and a half.
Yeah.
They're on the downward now.
Yeah. Any new infections today, as far as I know.
Yeah. That's great. Well, where did you read that, Luke?
Well, admittedly, it was on Twitter, but it was on like Twitter's news section, and it was an article with an actual source, and it said that they hadn't had any new infection that day or something like that.
Okay, that's quite good. That's the thing. That is something we're going to be getting into today about where you should be getting your sources, but we'll do that a little bit later.
So Tesco. I get my sources from Tesco.
Well, you're going to be getting any right now because the shops are empty. Just a heads up, before we actually jump into this episode, we are recording it on Thursday the 19th. Of March.
So we are.
So all of the information is up to date as of last night, because that's when I researched this episode. But yeah, everything's up to date as of Wednesday evening, the 18th of March.
Cool.
So if anything is out of date, that's because everything keeps on happening every single day.
Fair,
it's so hard.
It's 4 days in advance. Probably everything will change in that time.
Yeah. So when I was researching this, I was using a new scientist from a month ago and also a week ago. and both of them are hilariously out of date. literally a week ago, and half the information in there, I can't use this anymore because I know it's either wrong or we know more. That's how fast this is moving. Keeping up with it in print is just difficult.
Yeah.
So maybe we should be...
Maybe we should just be getting our news from Twitter
like Luke.
Well, we want correct news. So. So why don't we jump into why we're covering this again? Why are we covering this again?
Because we got a lot of things wrong.
Well, we got a lot of things. A lot of things have changed.
Yeah, that's true. So we did get things wrong, but at the time...
We know a lot more. And it's a lot bigger now.
It's a little bit bigger.
Significantly bigger.
When we were talking about it, it was... I've got some stats about when we were last talking about
it. Oh, okay.
So we uploaded the previous episode on the 3rd of February, 26 AL, which is over a month ago. By the end of that week, there were 17,391 cases confirmed globally. 17,238 of those were in China. And there were only 362 deaths globally. Hmm. And only one of them were... from outside of China. So since then, it has changed quite a bit. It's now in over 70 countries, and I'm going to use a website right now called Worldometers, which is going to give me the live information effectively of what's happening right now. So this Worldometers website, what it does is it uses an algorithm and all of the data that we've got to basically give an estimate on the live numbers, what's happening right now.
This is like the population growth thing, but for coronavirus.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So we used this before for the to show you how often people were just dying in the world. So it's the same. It's the same website, and it's pretty good. It's pretty good. It's not an actual live number, but it's an estimate based on a lot of data using an algorithm. So if we click on the coronavirus one, right now there are 242,017 cases.
Confirmed cases.
So that's not cases in total. That's just the ones that have been tested for. And if you're in somewhere like the UK, where they're only testing severe cases, we don't actually have
the actual number.
Yeah, we don't know. Because
probably nowhere near.
Because even if you take people that have got symptoms, there's also people that are asymptomatic.
Yeah.
Which means we really actually don't know for sure how many people in the UK have.
Apparently kids are really asymptomatic, aren't they?
Supposedly, yeah. That's what I've been reading.
And they just don't show any symptoms, and they like pass it on to their parents and teachers and stuff.
They're very good at spreading it, which is probably a good reason
to close the schools.
To close the schools, So there have been just under 10,000 deaths. That's 9,991. But about 86,714 have recovered.
Hey!
Which is good.
Well done.
Yeah, it's quite good.
Good work, guys.
I mean, that's... So when I said there's 242,000 cases...
That's total.
Including recovered. Yeah, so the active
cases
right now are about 145,312, which is...
Still a lot, but...
Yeah, it's a lot. And it's expanded totally out from where we were before, really. I mean, it's hit so many different countries. China, Italy, Iran, Spain, Germany, USA, France, the UK.
Yeah.
Name a country, it's probably gotten it's
probably
there.
Probably got it.
Unless it's in Africa. They've been doing quite well, supposedly.
Cool.
Yeah.
Well, Madagascar doesn't have it. I checked Madagascar.
Did you pop over and check?
Yeah.
That's the thing.
What if you unwittingly infected Madagascar?
Well, that's what happened to Bali, which is a place that I wanted to go.
We were going on holiday. Didn't we, Corey?
Yeah, we were. We were. A British tourist went there and died.
Oh.
Yeah. They didn't have any cases until they did. Well, they didn't. They didn't have any confirmed cases, supposedly, until that British person died there.
Did you hear that North Korea apparently had a case and they shot him?
Does that count as a death due to coronavirus or not?
I think it probably still does.
Yeah.
In a roundabout way.
I would.
Well, no, actually. It counts as like a 3% death due to coronavirus, 97% death due to being shot.
Being shot, yeah.
Because it's 3% mortality rate.
But they shot him because he had coronavirus.
Yes.
Yeah, that's true.
So.
Okay.
Although,
let's not extrapolate that out into a series of examples that look very bad.
Yeah, so that's why we're covering it again, because since the last time we made an episode, things have exploded into a full-blown pandemic.
Yeah.
And that was one of the things. The World Health Organization have labeled it as a pandemic now, right?
Yes.
Oh, yes, they did.
Yep. And in the New Scientist article I was reading from just over a week ago, They were talking about how the World Health Organization didn't want to call it a pandemic yet because that would panic people. And I was reading that. I was like, oh, okay, great. Good. Now I know I can't use it.
Panicked.
Yeah. But people are panicking. People are panicking a lot.
Just don't panic buy.
Don't panic, bye.
You'll be fine.
What I've done, the kind of structure of this episode is I'm going to go through all the stuff you need to know about the coronavirus. Mm-hmm. And then also, you guys have all sent in some questions that you want answered. So I've done my best to pool all of the sources that I can and get the most up-to-date and correct answers for you, because you really should only be using trusted sources. And again, all of the sources for this are all in the description if you're on YouTube, and they're in the description as well if you're listening to this.
Unless me and James say it, in which case...
It's probably not.
Maybe just don't listen to anything me and James say.
I'm going to be totally honest. Everything that comes out of my mouth, I'm going to try and make... everything that comes out of my mouth, I'm going to try and make sure that it's 100% sourced. And if I say, I think I might have read this somewhere, but I'm not sure... Don't trust it as fact.
I'm getting so fed up of seeing people tweeting things, and I'm like, you don't know anything.
Yeah,
Stop saying things, man. Just stop saying things.
There's been a post going around on my Facebook. It's been shared by heaps of people that I'm friends with. And it's just like, if you gargle with water when you first get the symptoms, it will go away. It's like, completely untrue.
That's like when people said that if you put your iPhone 5 in the microwave, it will turn into an iPhone 6.
Yeah, so I'm gonna say it now. I'm gonna say it at the end of the episode as well. This is mostly for the UK, but you can really use this wherever you are. Some websites that will have reputable and well sourced information. The World Health Organization, trust them above all else. The BBC are usually quite good with that. Make sure that the articles that you're reading have some kind of source linking back to either a scientific paper, or the World Health Organization. The government websites, those will all be up. Those, as long as they're up to date, those will all be correct and using information from the World Health Organization and the NHS. You should also trust that.
Very good.
But other than that, wouldn't trust it necessarily. If you don't really know how to read scientific papers, don't bother looking into those.
Take it with a grain of salt.
Yeah, because honestly, this is another thing I've seen. People will read a scientific paper and be like, I read that they cured the coronavirus in monkeys. And like, okay, right, but what does that... You don't know what that means, you know? They could have gotten rid of the virus. They could have done whatever. Don't trust a paper unless you know how to read the papers.
Did they cure the coronavirus in monkeys?
No, I just made that up.
Okay. Checking.
No, they didn't.
Did they cure a coronavirus?
I mean, what do you mean you can't cure a virus?
The body cures the virus. We don't have cures to viruses yet.
We've got small molecules that can disrupt viruses.
What? That's amazing.
I didn't know this.
Cool. Just another reason that you shouldn't listen to people.
Well, that was what I was taught in school.
No, yeah. I know. Exactly. Nothing against you. It's just, unless someone is like...
Yeah.
I mean, because...
It's just like, don't assume you know.
Yeah, there's so many things that I'm like, I remember that from school, but before I want to say it on this podcast, I always want to double check.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, when were we last in school?
7 years ago.
7 years ago.
100 years ago.
Yeah, a lot of things have changed in 7 years.
18 AL.
So, for instance, someone could be like, oh yes, back when I was, I remember from school, Pluto was a planet.
Sure.
I was in school
Pluto
in
might
the
be
70s.
A planet again.
I think it's a planet
track.
Again.
It's swinging back and forth, honestly.
Well, there you go.
Get in the closet, get out the closet. Pluto, just decide. I'm going to get back onto the coronavirus because we've really gone off track.
Pluto's an icy dwarf planet.
Oh.
So a dwarf planet. So
dwarf planet, yeah. Planet.
Rubbish.
Yeah. Okay, so do you know why it's called coronavirus or COVID-19?
Because of its shape.
Okay. Good.
Yes.
That is correct.
That's corona.
Do you mean COVID?
Okay, so here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to explain what coronavirus means. I'm going to explain what COVID means.
Ooh.
So coronavirus... So a coronavirus is a type of virus. It's from the family Coronaviridae. Basically, they're viruses with a kind of lipid, which is like a kind of fatty envelope, we call it, which is like a kind of fatty outside. It protects all of itself with a layer of fat. And it's got club projections, which is just little bits kind of shooting out of the fat they look like clubs, which makes it look kind of like a crown, hence the name Corona, which is Spanish for crown. Now, a coronavirus is a family of viruses. So there are lots of coronaviruses.
Are there 19?
No. There are lots of coronaviruses. So I'll give you the name. I'll tell you why it's called COVID-19, but that's
okay.
COVID-19 isn't the virus.
It's 2019.
So coronavirus is a family of viruses, like I've said. And one of these coronaviruses causes the disease COVID-19. Now, the reason that it's called COVID-19 is the CEO is from corona, the VI is from virus, and then the D is disease, and then the 19 is from 2019, which is when it was first reported, December 31st in 2019.
Wow, only just.
Oh, really?
It's nearly COVID 20.
It was nearly COVID 20, but COVID 19. So that is that's the disease. The virus is a coronavirus.
Mm.
Yeah?
Yes.
Good. There we go. So now you know basically where that comes from. So I'm going to be calling the disease COVID-19, again, the virus, the coronavirus.
I've been finding it very frustrating watching Boris Johnson do his talks saying coronavirus.
This thing is...
Because he should be saying COVID-19, because if we get another coronavirus within the time that he's prime minister...
Yeah. No, we'll give it another name. We've had multiple coronaviruses in recent years.
No, of course. But if he's just saying coronavirus and we get another coronavirus, then that footage can be used to confuse people.
I do agree. But I think the reason that we're calling this one the coronavirus is just because it didn't have another name when it was first announced.
Yeah.
So people started calling it coronavirus, and it's really hard to change minds. If you just look at people trying to call the disease COVID-19.
Right.
No one's going to...
It came into mainstream knowledge before it was called COVID-19.
Yeah, whereas if you look at other ones like SARS, people call SARS SARS, despite the fact that it's coronavirus. SARS stands for...
Same with MERS, right?
Yeah, yeah. So a SARS stands for Severe Acute Respiratory Syndrome, which is caused by a coronavirus. And now this current coronavirus, COVID-19, is also a Severe Acute Respiratory Syndrome.
Okay.
And so if you look at the full name of... Yeah, so if you look at the full name of the virus, it does actually have SARS in it.
Yeah.
So that's why I'm not too worried about people calling this coronavirus.
Cool.
Because there's been a lot of them.
We'll just call it something else. Great.
Yeah, we'll just call a new one something else. Yeah, exactly. So again, that's why it's named that. And so it's a kind of zoonotic disease. Do you know what that means?
Comes from animals.
Comes from animals.
That's true. That does. It does come from animals, just like Luke. So the reason that they're deadly, or can be deadly rather, the reason that they can be deadly... is because we don't have a pre-existing immunity to them. So, you know, with common colds, some of the viruses that cause that are coronaviruses. The common cold, we tend to have an immunity to it.
Really?
Yeah, because, obviously it goes around everyone, so everyone's got it.
Because it's the common cold.
Yeah, we've built up a bit of an immunity, so you're not really going to die from getting a cold, despite the fact that it's also kind of a respiratory disease, effectively. Yeah. You know, it affects your breathing, you get all snotty and all that. So, yeah, we don't have kind of an adaptation to be more immune to it, so it can kill us really quickly. Which is an issue for the virus, because obviously viruses don't want to kill you really quickly, because they want to spread. So the virus isn't also, additionally, the virus isn't adapted to humans, which means that it can kill them quite quickly. Because obviously viruses want to spread, so they want you to be alive kind of for as long as possible to spread to as many people as possible so that they can, you know, keep themselves going.
It's quite a nice thing that actually in the lifespan of a virus, it's quite a beneficial thing to not kill the host, which is like, that's kind of cool.
Yeah,
because in our understanding of like illness and infection, we associate that with dying, but actually that's negatively beneficial to viruses and bacteria. Obviously, they don't care if they eventually kill us as long as they've reproduced enough to continue passing on.
Yeah.
But that's a byproduct. It's not the intention.
Exactly. It's like...
if there is such a thing as intention with the virus.
I don't think there's... I mean, so much as there's intent in our genetic code,
yes,
really.
Yes, yes.
I'm not going to run over what a virus is again. We've spoken about it so many times.
Well, put a clip on our Instagram. It's already up there.
Yeah, there's a clip on our Instagram. So we've done it a lot of times. If you head over there if you're not really sure what a virus is. But, ultimately, there are other viruses that we've got. I mean, for instance, a lot of herpes viruses, they stay in your system. Like if you've got a cold sore, if you ever get cold sores, that's a virus that's in your system.
Yeah, this as well.
That doesn't kill you. And it's very easily spread. So that's a virus that's very well adapted to humans, but to the point where it doesn't even kill you. It doesn't even cause any real disruption other than a sore every now and then. So zoonotic diseases make about 2.5 billion people ill every year. So for example, Ebola kills most of the people that it infects, which is also a zoonotic disease. Which is
most people.
Yeah.
Really?
Yes.
Oh.
That's what I've read. Yeah.
Oh damn.
That was from New Scientist, I believe.
I knew it was bad. I didn't know it was most.
Well, it was really bad. Yeah. Just some examples of some zoonotic diseases that we know of. You've mentioned MERS already, which is Middle Eastern Respiratory Syndrome. That doesn't spread very well from person to person. But it was obviously quite an issue for us. It was quite deadly.
Yeah.
Rabies is a big one that you'll know about. We generally get that from dogs. Usually that kills about 60,000 people a year. Swine flu in 2009 was a massive one.
I remember that.
Yeah, I remember that too. It killed 400,000 people.
Yeah.
Whoa.
Yeah.
That's way more than coronavirus killed, so far.
Killed a lot. Yeah. What time frame is that?
It wasn't... From memory, it was a few months. But
we've had coronavirus a few months by now.
But the difference with swine flu is that swine flu didn't have like a full pandemic response from all of the countries in the same way that coronavirus is having. I'm fairly sure that swine flu affected younger people more.
Yeah, I remember because I got sick during the swine flu, the whole swine flu outbreak, and I thought I might maybe had it, but I don't think I did.
A lot of people thought they had swine flu.
Yeah.
But they
ended up
not.
It was just the flu.
Yeah. But yeah, so swine flu killed about 400,000 people. It was caused by influenza from pigs.
Yeah.
Hence the name swine flu. And Spanish flu in 1918, which didn't actually come from Spain, by the way. Don't trust. If a disease name has a place in it, Trump's trying to call the coronavirus the China virus.
Yeah.
Don't ever use that because it's misleading and often it's used for racism. But the Spanish flu didn't come from Spain. This is something I read somewhere, so it may or may not be true. But apparently they may have traced it back to an American citizen, like who had come back from the war.
Oh,
so yeah,
doesn't look good on America, does it?
It doesn't look good on America. So Spanish flu in 1918 came from birds and killed about 50 million people. That was a really big one, yeah. Because obviously the world was kind of just on the brink of collapse at that point.
Yeah,
it was not what we needed. And another one that we'll all know is HIV, which is called human immunodeficiency virus. Not from humans, actually from chimpanzees. Spread to humans in about the 1930s, infected about 75 million people, and it killed about 770,000 in 2018.
In 2018?
That's what it said.
In 2018?
From the start of the HIV epidemic, yeah, 74.9 million, but 75 million people were infected. From the start of the AIDS epidemic, the HIV epidemic, up until the end of 2018. Yeah, it's unbelievable.
Wow.
The thing is, what's great now is that you've got PrEP on the NHS.
Yeah, yeah. Just been announced.
Which is fantastic. And basically, HIV in some countries isn't a death sentence anymore, specifically our country, because we actually have therapies that can basically reduce the levels of the virus to be
undetectable,
which means you can't transmit it to anyone. And also, you won't really develop AIDS because the virus doesn't take over your system in the way that it would if it was untreated, which is fantastic. Which hopefully we'll get to with the coronavirus, but obviously we're working hard to produce something for that. So the coronavirus potentially came from bats, is what we're thinking right now. So there is a person called Vaithalingaraja of UCLA. I'm not going to try their surname because it's equally as long. Okay. Hold on, I'll turn. I'm going to try that again. There's someone called Vaithalingaraja Arumugaswamy.
Good work.
Good
work.
Arumugaswamy.
Don't try again. Stop trying.
Arumugaswamy.
Move
on. Of UCLA. It's highly related to bat coronaviruses. That's what they've said.
Right.
So we presume it comes from bats. So it could have come from...
How does that cross over to humans?
Close contact.
Close contact. Oh, wow.
In the same way that it would, in a similar way that it would pass from humans to other humans.
Yeah.
You know, if you have a bodily fluid of the bat that's got the virus in it, and that then gets into your system and infects your cells, then you would get the virus.
I think the assumption people have made is that somebody ate a bat, but I don't think that's been confirmed. Or
people are saying that someone.
Well, but do people eat bats?
I mean, people will eat anything, won't they?
Well, I just mean do people eat bats? Is that because it's not a thing I've ever heard of?
People will eat bats. So I'll double check that for you. But initially,
because I heard,
I think because wasn't again, there weren't there selling bats in that market?
Yeah, so it was traced back to a
fish market.
It was traced back to bats as food. Bats are a food source for humans in some areas.
Yeah, I'm not asking you to speculate. I just mean that what I had read was there was more specific information than close contact with bats, that there was like a certain level of belief that came from a meat market in Wuhan.
Yeah, so there's been links to the market in Wuhan, but I don't want to go out on a limb and say 100% came from there. I don't even want to say that we think it came from there, because again, there is a lot that we don't know about this. Mm. What we do know is that the coronavirus that is infecting us right now is very similar to bat coronaviruses.
Right.
It likely could have come from a bat, but also it could have not come directly from bats. There could have been an intermediate host. So with the SARS outbreak of 2002 to 2003, it went from bats into palm civets. You know what those are?
Not at all.
No, you've never heard of palm civet.
Okay, hold on. I'll get a picture.
You've never heard of palm civets, James?
You've never heard of a civet?
So uncultured.
They're very cute.
Oh,
they are so cute. I've seen them before. I didn't know what they were called.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, so the SARS outbreak came from a coronavirus that jumped from bats into palm civets into humans. So it doesn't necessarily need to have come directly from a bat. And also, it took them years to trace the source of SARS. Obviously, technology is advanced, so we could find the source of this outbreak a lot quicker. But ultimately, we don't necessarily know for sure yet. And this transfer could have happened anywhere between like a few months ago to a few decades ago.
Yeah.
So it didn't need to have transferred into from bats into another animal, like just before it infected humans. It could have been a long time ago. But again, also it could have come directly from bats. We just don't know. They did try to close markets in China, as in live animal markets or animal sort of animal markets. But the issue that they had was they were worried it would lead to a black market, which would be more dangerous because it would be less regulated. So that's where we think the virus came from. That's what it is. That's pretty much all you need to know on that. If you don't know anything else that you hear, wouldn't necessarily trust it. Especially if it's coming from your Aunt Kathy on Facebook.
Oh my God.
Yeah. Doubt she knows as much as she thinks she does.
As the World Health Organization and the NHS.
Yeah, unless she works for both of them. In which case, go ahead.
In which case.
So the symptoms.
The Simpsons?
I'm going to go through this. No.
There's a Simpsons reference.
We did it. So the symptoms of this. Do you guys know what the symptoms are?
Fever.
Right.
Shortness of breath.
That's right. So
respiratory tract infection.
I mean, that's...
Oh, no, yeah. I'm suffering from a...
upper respiratory tract infection.
Oh, goodness me.
That's me. It's not a deep cough. It's like up here cough.
Oh, a dry cough.
Yeah.
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 So the NHS says to stay home if you've got either a high temperature, which is basically you feel hot to the touch on your chest or back. You don't necessarily need to measure your temperature.
Really?
It's going to be difficult for you to feel your own temperature, by the way.
Yeah, I know, because I am also my temperature.
Because you are your temperature, yes. Yeah.
So, I feel fine.
Get someone else to feel your temperature, but also don't forget to socially distance.
No, I'm not too hot.
So get someone to feel your temperature without touching you.
Okay.
You don't want to spread it.
Oh.
So with a little, like, one of those grabber thingies.
Yeah, if you've got a fever, you'll likely know if you've got a fever.
Sure.
And then a new continuous cough, which basically means if you're coughing a lot for more than an hour or three or more coughing episodes in 24 hours, and if you usually have a cough, it will probably be worse than usual.
Right.
Right.
So this is the advice from the NHS. If you don't live in the UK, please look at your government's healthcare website.
Yeah.
If your government doesn't have a healthcare website,
look at the WHO.
Look at the World Health Organization. Yeah. So usually you've got a fever, tiredness, or a dry cough. And some people might have aches and pains, nasal congestion, which is like a blocked nose, mm-hmm. And your what's it called? Your sinuses feeling all blocked. A runny nose, sore throat, or diarrhea.
I've not heard that one before.
Yeah, so that's the issue. The symptoms, apparently the symptoms for severe cases can be slightly different from less severe, like milder cases. And I mean, similarly to the flu, when you've got the flu, you don't necessarily have all of flu symptoms.
Yeah, yeah.
So these are essentially like flu-like symptoms. But when to worry is if you've got a new cough that you keep on having, and a temperature, mm-hmm. or shortness of breath. Those are ones where you should maybe call 111 if you're in the UK, or speak to your healthcare provider. So they're usually mild and they begin gradually. And some people get infected, but they don't actually have any symptoms and don't feel unwell. So you could actually be infected with the coronavirus right now and have no idea. And be spreading it to everyone that you know.
Which one of you's got it?
It's Luke.
Oh. I knew it.
So most people, about 80% actually recover from the disease without needing special treatment. So we want you to go to hospital. You'll just have to stay home, basically like having a flu. And about one of every six people who gets COVID-19, the disease, becomes seriously ill and develops difficulty breathing, supposedly. But again, this is difficult because...
Is that when you call an ambulance, you'd say?
I wouldn't call it. I wouldn't necessarily call it.
111?
I would call 111. If it's an emergency, then call an ambulance, obviously. But ultimately, 111 for non-emergencies. If you've got difficulty breathing, call 111. If you're not breathing...
If you're not
someone
sure.
should probably call an ambulance.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Again, maybe. I'm not a medical professional. If you're unsure about what to do, genuinely visit your government website or visit the NHS website. It will have all the information that you need. This is where I'm pulling all my information from. It really does have everything you need to know. So, again, like I said, some people can be infected with no symptoms. So that brings us on to our next part. How is it spread? How do you guys think it's spread?
Well, I heard, unsourced, that this one can be spread by even just breathing on each other.
Oh, by the air, because it's the droplets that you...
Like, not even, like, normally it'd be like coughs or, like, bodily fluid transfer, but this one can be, like, you can just breathe on someone and they get it. Okay. Is that correct or wrong?
Okay, I'm going to tell you how it's spread.
Okay.
And then we can understand where that's come from. I've never felt more like a teacher in my life. So basically, you can only catch COVID-19 from other people who have the virus. Obviously.
Yeah.
You're not going to catch from someone who doesn't have it. Now, basically, when you cough or sneeze or anything like that, there are small droplets that come from your nose and mouth. And in those droplets, there will be... little virus particles. There'll be little bits of little viruses in there. So other people can then catch the disease by being infected by the virus that's in those droplets. So basically, if you, say, sneeze on a surface, like this table, or sneeze on your hand and then touch something, like a pole on a tube, and someone else touches that and then touches their face,
on the hand,
like their eyes or their nose or their mouth,
nose or something,
they could then get infected by the virus. So the American National Institute of Health, I didn't say that very well, but we're going to keep on going. They had a study that found that the virus survives on cardboard up to 24 hours. Up to 24 hours. That's it. And up to 2 to 3 days on plastic and stainless steel surfaces.
Wow.
Clean things, please. Using
wipe things down.
Yeah, clean things thoroughly and
also wash
properly.
Your hands.
And wash your hands as well. And they can survive in droplets for up to 2 to 3 hours after being coughed out into the air. Now, fine droplets between 1 to 5 micrometers in size, which is about 30 times smaller than the width of a human hair, so absolutely not visible, those can stay in the air for several hours.
Wow. Ooh. Just floating around?
Yeah, well, I mean, it's
gravity
tiny...
doesn't
because they're light
on
enough,
them.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, they're tiny, tiny little droplets of air, so they're kind of, they just can float around in the air. So again, that's why close contact with someone who has the virus will increase your chances of getting it.
Right.
Yeah. So that's why... So technically, you could get it from someone breathing if they were to breathe out those droplets.
Yeah.
And you were to breathe them in.
Yeah.
But that's not nearly as likely as being coughed on, touching something that's been coughed on, and then touching your face. Technically, it's possible. But ultimately, it's not what you should be worrying about.
Sure.
And with social distancing measures in place, you really shouldn't be being breathed on in a way that is going to make your chance of catching the virus from that quite high. So that's why it's important to stay more than 1 meter away from a person who is sick. So if you know someone's sick, do not get within a meter of them.
It's a meter.
More than arm's length. You shouldn't be able to touch them with your arm. And if you're short, 2 arms lengths.
Wait, so if one of us gets sick, the sick one could just sit on the other side of the room.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Record the podcast.
To record the podcast.
While researching,
which is essential.
Yeah, while researching this, I put lots of plans in place in my head for what happens if one of us gets sick.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, exploit it.
Yeah. Oh, milk that cow.
Stop.
First-hand experience.
So, can you catch the disease?
Yes.
COVID-19 from someone who has no symptoms.
Yes.
Yes. You
yes.
Can.
Yeah, you
can still have it.
Exactly. Yeah. So they could, if they cough or they sneeze or they get those droplets out in the air, still got the virus in it. So you could still get it. So that's why it's really important that we all follow advice to stay as far away from other people as possible and only go outside or go in public for essential trips. Now, when I say go outside, I don't mean going on a run. If you're not likely to run into anyone or touch anything, it's probably fine. If you're hopping
shops.
In your... Yeah, well, shops...
Shops you're coming
into contact
with people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's necessary. I mean, what I'm saying here is don't go and rub your hands over a park bench or anything. You know, don't go to the gym.
Yeah.
Don't do things that you don't absolutely need to do. And especially really try not to do things that involve being in close contact with other people or touching things, really.
Yeah. This is why the policy that our government is taking is so frustrating, is because, like, if my gym was forced to close by the government, I wouldn't be paying my membership.
Absolutely.
But because they are going, you shouldn't go to the gym, but the gym doesn't technically have to close, I have to continue paying an expensive membership whilst the government's given £330 billion of aid to businesses, which, by the way, if you split that equally between every person in this country, including the children, will be £5,000 each.
The interesting thing about that is that gyms are one of the only businesses that are loving this because they're making money without having to do anything. Think about it. You pay for a gym membership whether you go or not. So if everyone's not going to your gym, it's in the gym's interest to remain open.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Whereas pubs and bars, which need people to come in to make money, are closing down. So, I mean, I know for a fact, all of us know people that have lost their jobs because the government hasn't said bars and pubs and all these other places need to shut down.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's just a really, it's like, there's a lot of people defending the way the government's been, and in some ways they've been good and they've like been careful and they've been slow and they've not let anyone panic too much and they've like announced things slowly, right? But in other ways, they've been really unhelpful, especially for people like me. I mean, I'm not struggling. I'm okay. But I have lots of friends who are self-employed who are screwed in this situation because there's no help. There's people who've lost their jobs. Like my friend Gabe is being fired from his job and because of coronavirus. And then he doesn't even get statutory sick pay because he doesn't have a job anymore.
That's ridiculous.
And there's no statutory sick pay if you don't have a job.
And you just can't go out and get a new job.
And you can't
getting on universal credit takes longer than you need it to take. I mean, a very close friend of mine works in an industry that relies on people being outside.
Mm.
So while he's working from home right now, there's a chance that he could lose his job if people are told not to go outside in a couple
of
months.
There's been great pictures on Twitter of builders with cement mixers in their living room, like working from home. Working from home.
Look, if you work in a bar, you know what you got to do? Just get pissed from home. It's fine. You know?
Yeah. It's just very frustrating. No, I mean, I'm going to be fine and that many people will be fine, but it's also like the middle ground where this is not your fault and there's no help because you're not a big business or even a small business that can claim.
Well, ultimately, that's the thing. Small businesses are going to go under if someone doesn't step in to help them out.
Mm. Yeah.
Ultimately, if you're looking at any kind of local cinema, anything, any local pub, any local music venue,
going to struggle.
They're really going to struggle. And some of them will close and some of them won't reopen. I mean, I've got a lot of contact with a lot of small businesses and they're being hit really hard. Freelancers, especially, like you said as well, it's something that is really affecting the UK.
I was freelance this time last year. I'd be struggling if I was still freelance.
Yeah. I mean, you would have been told just not to come in.
Yeah.
Surely.
Yeah.
There are apparently, again, unsourced, but read somewhere, 17 million people in this country with less than £100 in their bank account savings.
Well,
so like if some of those 17 million people will be on either 0 hours contracts or self-employed or I have a friend who is on Universal Credit, and constantly just like things go wrong with sick notes or expiring or whatever. And then they just go, right, cool. That's you. Your rent's not paid anymore. And your universal credit's not in. And he can't do anything.
That's
it's
ridiculous.
Like, and most of the people who work there will not be working.
Mm. And this is the thing as well. Landlords, the scum of the earth, are making money from this.
Well, that's not totally true.
Some of them.
There is a mortgage holiday if you can't pay. If you are a property owner who has rent still coming in, I really hope the government is not going to give you a mortgage holiday if you still have rent coming in.
Yeah, but okay, put it this way. The stories that, again, we don't know the volume of this because this is just first-hand accounts that I've been reading. But I have read a few first-hand accounts of people's landlords telling them, hey, no, if you can't find a, if you can't pay for it, then find somewhere else to live. Sorry.
Wow.
Which is effectively a case of, you have a, like, as a landlord, I don't necessarily know the law. One would assume that if your renters can't pay due to being laid off, then you have a reason to say, hey, I won't be able to afford X payment.
Yeah.
So I don't think that's the case at all. I don't think there'd be any protections for that sort of situation. You'll have to go to a charity for help or something, probably.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, like, no, but what I mean is, like, if the government is saying, okay, there's mortgage holidays for people who can't pay, then surely that should extend to landlords who have renters who can't pay, because what is the protection for people that rent?
There is none.
Exactly. The number of people in this, the number of people in this country that rent, they should absolutely be thought about, and not just the people who managed to get in early and own a house.
Yeah.
Or who managed to make enough money to buy a house. I mean, you're not protecting the people at the bottom. You're not protecting the people who live basically paycheck to paycheck.
There's an argument of seeing this as the £330 billion as a giant transfer of wealth from the government to people who own property. Because the businesses' rents will still be paid. The rents of the people who are employed will still be paid. But the people who do the work will not.
Yeah. And the thing is, what's interesting now is we're seeing the real... This is something I've been seeing on Twitter quite a lot recently, is who is really essential to the country running. It's not CEOs. It's not people who are, you know...
It's like people who work in shops and...
Yeah, it's people who work in shops.
Delivery
who,
drivers.
Yeah, exactly.
Nurses and carers. And...
I mean, in fairness... Just out of interest of fairness, mm-hmm. all the people who you're talking about as being essential to the country surviving, which mm-hmm. absolutely they are, they still need a system on which they have money, that their money is backed up by something, that it can flow through something that, like, and so, like, I just want to be fair to the fact that, like, I don't want us to be blind to the fact that we're incredibly lucky that, for example, if you earn money in London, you can use that in the north of England, you can use it in Spain, you can use it in America. And the whole system we've built as a species, the financial system around the world, is incredible. It's also very selfish in that it rewards people who uphold it above all else and hurts a lot of vulnerable people. But it is also very important. And we, as us and the people you mentioned, wouldn't necessarily be able to build a system that works that well quickly to replace it if we got rid of it.
Yeah. My point being that, well, yes, but someone that, say, so the people that are, if you look at the people that are able to take time off because they're ill because of this illness.
Oh, absolutely. It's the people who are CEOs and the people who own the banks and the businesses.
And the people who are told, you will lose your job if you don't come in because need someone.
Yeah.
That's more the point that I'm making. That
the
people that are told they've got unskilled labor are kind of the ones that we're relying on now.
Yes.
And in this country in particular, unskilled labor has become synonymous with it's useless jobs anyone can do. And now it's a case of, hey guys, we really need you to muck in and help us out, you know?
Yeah.
It's interesting how this pandemic has really highlighted issues with a lot of issues that we've got with society right now.
I hope people pay attention to that.
I really do. you can catch it. So the risk of catching it from someone who has no symptoms at all is quite low. Obviously, because the main way that it's spread is through coughing and sneezing and all of that stuff. And if you've got no symptoms, you're not really going to be very much.
Yeah, unless you kiss them.
Well, yes, that's true. Yeah. But how many people are kissing? Kissing is usually a two-person thing.
Yeah.
It usually stays within two people.
Usually.
Well, maybe not.
Well, if you're a cheater.
Don't be such a prude, Corey.
Or polyamorous, then right now. if you're cheating or you're polyamorous, right now, I implore you, please stick to one person.
Social distancing. Social kiss distancing.
Ew.
Yeah.
Yuck.
But yes, you're right. Kissing generally stays within two people. I hadn't thought about that.
Yeah.
It's the time,
It's spread exponentially between these two people.
What we need to do is
a tennis match. Time
is we need to all stop kissing so many people. Just me? I see. Sorry.
A question that's been asked is, can COVID-19 be caught from the feces of someone who is infected?
Who is asking that?
People who eat feces.
People who eat feces, I assume.
I see.
Yes. Well, look, the risk of catching it from the feces of someone else it appears to be low right now. So initial investigations have shown that the virus can be present in feces, but it's not the main spread, because obviously you're coughing on people a lot more.
From your lungs.
Yes.
It's in your lungs.
Well, yeah, that, and also you're coughing on people a lot more than you are spreading your feces on them. Yes.
Yeah. No, yeah.
Yeah.
That, generally.
Well, more often than not, I find.
On
generally.
Average.
Yeah, I mean, look, in this climate, social distancing.
6 days a week.
I'm definitely not going to spend the time on, like, wiping my feces on, you know, like... We've had to cut that out.
It's
our start of episode ritual. And just to keep everyone safe, we stopped doing it.
It's one of the first things to go.
So the World Health Organization is assessing ongoing research on the way that it spread. And they will share new findings. So if we find anything new, check the World Health Organization, because they will keep on updating us. But again, it is a risk. And that's another reason to clean your hands all the time. Because
dirty pick.
Yeah, because there is fecal matter on your hands and on your phone and all of that stuff.
Oh yeah, your phone's filthy.
Yeah, so make sure you clean you clean your hands, make sure you clean your phone.
Wipe your phone.
So there's also an incubation period. If you don't know what that means, an incubation period is just the time between catching the virus and beginning to have symptoms of the disease. So most of the estimates that we've got for this is that it's around from between 1 to 14 days.
Most or more.
14 days.
Oh, more. Yeah. Not a joke for right now.
Okay.
Not a joke for right now. Very funny, but not. It ranges from 1 to 14 days, but most commonly around about 5 days.
Five. Okay.
So you could catch it and have no symptoms for 5 days, and at that point, if you're you know, licking your hands and wiping it on,
you've already had 5 days of licking,
you know,
people
licking and wiping. Yeah. You know, which is again another reason to wash your hands and keep away from people. So we've gone from the spread onto who's at risk. Can you guys give me some groups of people that are at risk?
Over 70s.
That's right.
The immunosuppressed.
Compromised. That's right. Immunocompromised.
People who are taking, apparently, beta blockers for heart problems.
Okay, so people that have got heart issues.
Yeah.
Yes. The beta blockers, I'm not 100% on, so I'm not going to confirm or deny that.
Cool.
Yeah.
So people who would take the flu jab.
Yes. So, okay, so not just people that take the flu jab. So specifically, the people that should be worrying are the people that need to take the flu jab every year for medical reasons.
Right.
Because
my friend Charlie takes it for having asthma. Does that make him at risk?
Yes. People with asthma can be at risk, obviously, because they have asthma and it's already kind of a strain on their lungs.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So I'm just going to rattle off a few right here. Again, you can find this. Actually, I've been talking a lot. Do you guys want to read it out?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh,
Let's do something. Woo!
Changing it up this week.
So basically, this is
okay.
So where I've gotten this list from, I just want to let you guys know, I've compiled it from basically two main places.
Oh, wow, there's a lot.
Two or three main places. This is from the government website. They released a list. This is the UK government, obviously, from the NHS and also from the World Health Organization. So these are the list of people that we think are at risk right now.
R70 or over? Over 70s.
Have a long-term condition such as a severe chest condition, such as cystic fibrosis or severe asthma.
Anyone instructed to get a flu jab as an adult each year on medical grounds.
Chronic long-term respiratory diseases, such as asthma, chronic obstruction, pulmonary disease, emphysema.
Bronchitis.
Oh, okay. Oh. Chronic heart disease.
Chronic liver disease, such as encephalitis.
Chronic kidney disease.
Chronic neural conditions, such as Parkinson's disease, motor neuron disease,
really?
Multiple sclerosis, and a learning disability or cerebral palsy. Why a learning disability?
Learning disability is a very broad term.
Okay.
Okay. Diabetes.
Problems with your spleen, for example, sickle cell disease, or if you have had your spleen removed.
I don't think that's problems with your spleen. That's problems with lack of spleen.
Yeah, that's true.
This one's a pretty big in America, I imagine. Obesity.
People with severe diseases of body systems, such as severe kidney disease, dialysis.
So if you're on
pregnant.
I'm going to run through two of those really quickly.
Okay, yeah.
One, the obesity. I don't know if it's written down there, but it's people with a BMI of 40 or over.
It does say that.
It does say
okay,
that, yes.
So if you're worried about the obesity thing, BMI of 40 or over, and dialysis is effectively when your kidneys don't work very well, so you basically use an artificial kidney, which you've got to do in a hospital.
Yes.
Oh.
Yeah.
Are pregnant.
Pregnant people have a weakened immune system.
Have had an organ transplant and are taking immunosuppressant medicine.
Are having chemotherapy or radiotherapy.
Have blood or bone marrow cancer, such as leukemia.
And last but not least, HIV/AIDS.
What a comprehensive list, Corey.
Yes, thank you.
That was a lot.
It was a lot. So there are. That's the thing. A lot of people are saying that
"Oh well, I'm perfectly fine. I don't need to worry about
Boris
getting
Johnson
ill
again."
No. My Boris is different. My Boris is my Boris doesn't say words. He simply
you've got to blow a lot of air into the microphone.
Okay. Guys, stop now.
It's just fun to do once you get into it.
Not for me.
Take your headphones off.
Boris is my dad.
Your dad's not. Anyway. Yeah, so it is a comprehensive list. Basically, I'm very tired of seeing people say, "Well, I'm not going to get infected by the coronavirus, and if I do, I'm going to be fine. And it's just old people that are going to get ill, so why do I need to care?" It's not just old people. I know off the top of my head, two friends of both of all of ours that could get very ill from this. You will definitely know someone in your life that could get very ill from this. And if you don't, you will know someone that knows someone. Don't be rude. Don't be a terrible person. Follow the measures that the government are putting in place, because it's not just to protect you, it's not just to protect your grandparents or people over 70, it's to protect this entire group of people. A lot of these, bear in mind, are invisible illnesses or invisible disabilities that you have no idea if someone you interact with on a daily basis has. Think of other people, stop thinking about yourself, follow the advice and wash your hands.
Yeah.
I've got very good at washing my hands.
Mic drop!
Yeah.
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 I'm like...
It's what I've not liked is finding out how many people don't wash their hands normally. Like, disgusting. You should be doing this anyway. This is your fault. I've got a note here on people that are pregnant. Now, we don't have a lot of evidence about people that are pregnant being susceptible to it. But obviously, it's better to be safe than to be sorry.
Yeah.
Also, with pregnancy, they have a baby in them. And when you pop that baby out, there are problems. But you don't necessarily know that there's problems when it's in there.
Well,
you know?
I've read on the BBC that it's not likely that it's spread from mother to fetus.
Oh, no, it's not.
And the only example that they thought was the case was the baby was tested 30 hours after birth. And so, the baby had it then, but they could have got it from somewhere else.
So here's all the advice that you need to follow to stop the spread of this disease. Number one is to wash your hands with soap and water often. Do it for at least 20 seconds. Look up how to wash your hands, because you probably don't know how to do it properly. Always wash your hands when you get home or into work, but at this point you shouldn't really be going into work.
Yeah.
So if you're ever leaving the house, make sure you wash your hands before and after you get there.
Lucas washing his hands now, by the way.
Yes. Demonstrating how to wash your hands.
Good job. Use hand sanitizer gel if soap and water aren't available. Cover your mouth and nose with a tissue or your sleeve, specifically not your hands, when you cough or sneeze.
Into the elbow,
into
I've
the
heard.
Elbow. Which is what I've been doing for years.
Then burn your clothes.
So put the used tissues in the bin immediately and wash your hands afterwards. It's especially useful if you've got a closed bin to put them into. Avoid close contact with people who have symptoms, obviously. Only travel on public transport if you absolutely need to. No, going down the pub is not something that you need to do.
speaking of, the tube is deadly silent.
I had to go for a blood test in King's Cross today. And I was in King's Cross and there was me and one other person and a man busking on his own. It was very cute. Yeah.
Wow. The last day that I went to work, when I was on my way home,
the tube
that I'm on usually is packed at that time.
Yeah.
Not very. It looked like the middle of the day.
It's weird, isn't it?
It was very odd.
It's London.
It was very odd. It's like 28 days later. So work from home if you can. Avoid social activities like going to pubs, restaurants, theaters, cinemas. That includes parties, any kind of get-together. Don't go to hang out with a group of people. Avoid events with large groups of people. So music events, anything along those lines. And use phone, online services, or apps to contact your GP, surgery, or other NHS services. Don't go in person, because if you are ill, you can spread it. And the last thing we want is for NHS workers to be getting ill from this. That we need them now more than ever, really. So now I'm basically going through all the questions that we've been asked. We've got a few questions that we've been asked. Do you guys want to ask the questions? Okay, so...
ask the question. Ask you the question. Okay.
Yeah, I mean, I've got... So. Oh, actually, why don't you first ask me some questions?
Okay, what's the deal with ibuprofen?
Okay, so what's the deal with ibuprofen? People have been asking me specifically, why does it react with ibuprofen? Now, we don't... The info on this has kind of changed. Basically, it's not recommended for managing the symptoms. Obviously, ibuprofen can bring down a fever.
Well, NHS were recommending it until recently.
Yes, now it's not recommended. Right, okay. So I'm saying... So basically, this is as of now, it's not recommended. It can bring down a fever, paracetamol can also do that as well. And it can help with flu-like symptoms. But
paracetamol's okay.
Yeah, paracetamol's okay. But ibuprofen and other non-steroidal anti-inflammatory drugs are not necessarily suitable for everyone and can cause side effects, especially for people with asthma, heart, and circulatory problems. Now, if you read a story online, assume that it's fake. Okay, because from what I've read, most of the stories that are online are fake. There aren't people, there aren't like reputable reports of people who have been otherwise incredibly healthy, have taken ibuprofen, and have gone into a severe, have gotten a severe case of coronavirus.
Yeah.
That's just not something that I have seen in any report from any reputable source. So effectively, some experts think that ibuprofen's anti-inflammatory properties could dampen the body's immune response. And Professor Parastu Donyai at the University of Reading says there are many studies that suggest ibuprofen use during a respiratory infection can result in worsening of the disease or other complications. But she then goes on to say, I have not seen any scientific evidence that clearly shows a totally healthy 25-year-old taking ibuprofen for symptoms of COVID-19 is putting themselves at additional risk of complications. So in the interest of safety, in the interest of what, look, if you've got an underlying condition that you don't know about, that could be the case. You could get the disease and have an underlying condition, that would mean you'd have a severe case and you wouldn't know about it at all. Don't take ibuprofen to manage the symptoms of this, just in the interest of safety.
Yeah.
If you are to take ibuprofen, it's not like you're going to drop dead on the spot. But just try not to do it because it can interact. It can exacerbate the issue, potentially. Mm-hmm. But most generally healthy people wouldn't need to worry about that.
Okay.
So that's the deal with ibuprofen.
Okay. Cool.
Another question.
Should we, as healthy young people, be actively, well, not actively, but like not trying to avoid getting the disease as long as we continue to self-isolate?
No, because the issue with that is that, so hold on, did you say?
So what my question really is like, we eventually want to get to a point where the majority of the country has immunity to the disease. So I'm self-isolating, I'm going to stay in my house, I'm going to not go out anywhere so that I don't infect other people. But should I be like not fussed about getting the disease myself, as in, because then I help immunize the country?
Okay, so that's a difficult question. In my opinion, I would say you should be worried about getting the disease yourself, because if there is ever a need for you to leave your house to interact with other
right,
people,
yeah.
you could then spread it. Additionally, you could have an underlying disease or disorder that you don't know about that could put you at increased risk. And ultimately, it's far better to immunize the population through it's far better to immunize the population when vaccines and treatments are available.
Sure.
Because otherwise,
but that's not been the tactic of our country
yet. No, it's not.
Sure.
I mean, again, this is my recommendation. I'm not a doctor. I'm not someone that's extensively studied this beyond this episode. I would say take all precautions to not get it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool. Any estimates on whether this is going to be like a really quick and done virus or going to be like a really long and drawn out one?
Okay. So the question that I've had is how long will it last and can it really last until late summer?
Yeah.
The answer to that is, it's difficult to estimate how long it can last. This could be lasting a long time. Ultimately, it's a pandemic. It's a fast pandemic. Mm-hmm. And the cases that are being reported are growing quite a lot. I read somewhere that it doubled in a day at one point, which is very quick. So we could be in this for the long haul at this point. Evidence points towards it being quite...
It could come back in December as well.
Yeah. So one of the issues that happened right now is that, well, the UK's got an aging population, which puts strain on the NHS. Additionally, this has come at a time around about flu season. It started, which is a point where the NHS is already under a certain amount of strain. So this is that was one of the reasons that this is quite a rapid thing in the UK. It will probably last a while at this point.
Yeah.
But then again, there are so many factors, it's difficult to say.
Heard that a slower virus might be more beneficial in that less people might die. I don't know if that's true.
Get an immunization.
Get a shot.
So there's fast pandemics and slow pandemics. A slow pandemic would be more beneficial purely because, one of the main reasons for that being that if you have a slower pandemic, you've got less strain on the health system because you don't have 100 people needing 10 beds. You'd only need 10 people needing 10 beds.
Yeah.
And then the next week, another 10 people needing 10 beds. Whereas if it was a fast pandemic, it'd be 100 people in 1 week needing the 10 beds.
Which is what it's looking like in like Italy and stuff now.
Yeah, which is why...
which I've heard they're starting to have to decide like who they're going to treat and who they're not going to treat.
So at that point, it then becomes an issue of choosing the person that is most likely to survive you've then got to treat because you don't have an option.
Tough call.
Yep. I'm just going to run through some other questions I've been asked. A big one is, can I give it to my pets? This is one that I was worried about because it's my understanding that rats have very sensitive respiratory systems.
Yeah. And similar immune systems.
Yes. We study a lot of things on rats. So I was worried about potentially passing it to my rats and it being something that we don't know about that could affect rats because obviously we can pass diseases from humans to animals. Now, there was one instance so far that I found, literally one instance that is a reported case of a dog being infected that was in Hong Kong. And since then, there is no evidence that a dog, cat, or any pet can transmit the disease to someone else, to a human. So it's not like you can, as far as we know right now, you can't give it to your dog, then your dog give it to your gran.
Yep.
So I can't find data on rats, but again, it's unlikely. They're testing this on transgenic mice. They're going to potentially test it on ferrets. So if you've got those animals, I would maybe look into it, speak to your vet. But ultimately, right now, there isn't really a big worry about spreading it to animals and animals then getting ill or then spreading it to other people.
Yeah.
However, that's not to say that you shouldn't isolate yourself from your pets. If you have the disease and you're isolating from your family, isolate from your pets. Or you have the pet and the
can lock my cat in a room.
Well, no, so here's the thing. So if you're isolating yourself from people, the pet has to stay with one of the groups. So if you're isolating yourself from your family, your cat can either stay with you or with your family.
Yes.
It can't go between both.
Okay.
I've seen that apparently droplets can stay on the...
Even if the cat doesn't get sick, it can take it between.
Yeah. Again... don't trust that 100% in terms of the droplets being on the animal's fur. I read that and I'm not sure where I remember reading that, but that is something that I've read that could happen. But ultimately the advice is to not share a pet when you've got symptoms.
Yeah.
Question.
That was a good point.
Yeah, sorry. Yes.
Can you get it twice?
That's a question that I have been asked.
There is one lady apparently who got it twice.
So, okay.
Poor lady.
So the question I've been asked is, can you get COVID-19 again or are you immune to it? Now, I found a study that wasn't published. It's not published yet at the time of recording. It was basically on a website for like pre-published papers. Now, what they've done is they've effectively infected monkeys and they've found that the monkeys can't then be reinfected. So we've seen some cases in humans where they were tested to be positive and then they were tested to be negative.
Mm-hmm.
And then afterwards, they were tested to be positive again, which some people are taking as you've got it twice. However, there are obviously other explanations for that. It could be a case of a false positive at the end. So they actually weren't, they didn't have it after testing negative.
Yeah.
Or it could be a false negative in the middle. Mm. So there's not really a way to know. Right now, we don't know for sure. This study that I'm looking at, obviously, it's a small study. It's a very short-term study. A lot of the studies that we're looking at right now are going to be short term because this was basically discovered in December of last year, at the end of December. So basically January this year is when we've known about it. So to answer your question...
Probably not.
To answer your question, but we're probably immune from it after we first get it.
And that's why it's so important. They were asking Boris Johnson yesterday, or the scientific advisor next to him, about white blood cell tests where you can check whether you've had the disease because then you can take those people and you can put them in situations... helping out people who have it because they're not going to get it again.
Yeah, absolutely. But again, we're not entirely sure.
Not 100%.
We're not 100%, no.
But am I right in thinking that most of the time, once you've had a virus, unless that virus mutates, you can't get the virus again?
Yeah, so a lot of diseases you can develop an immunity to because your body basically creates these little things called antibodies, which fight, let's just say they fight infection, to be simple. And your body... basically remembers the antibodies that it makes. So when the disease comes in again, your body's like,
can send the
I got you, I got you checked, mate. Sure. You're my little book.
I recognize you.
Just on that, the mutation. So people are worrying that this might mutate. Now, from what I've seen, it could mutate, but so far it's been shown to be relatively stable. So, good. The chances of it mutating aren't super high. I've had a question here, which is, why do people care? Because, okay, so some people are saying, well, it's not necessarily that deadly. There are other problems in the world. Why is everything shutting down? So, quickly on this one, the death rate of a disease is different from its mortality rate, which is the number of deaths out of the number of people in an at-risk population. A death rate is not a reflection of the likelihood that a given person will die. So, according to Anthony Fauci, the director of the National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Diseases, COVID-19's mortality rate is probably around 1%, which is still about 10 times that of the flus.
Right.
So that's still quite high.
It's still quite high.
Even though it sounds small.
Yeah. It's higher than other, I think it was SARS, I read in New Scientist, it was higher than that as well. So right now the death rate, I'm going to run through the death rate in some countries. In Italy, the death rate has been 7.94%.
What?
In the UK, it's 2.81%. The US, 1.68%. And China is 3.98%. Now that was as of 4 p.m. on March 17th. Now, what I will say about this is that obviously these are with confirmed deaths and confirmed cases.
Right, and there's a lot more cases than there are confirmed cases.
Yes, so there are a lot more cases than we know about, because the UK in particular is only testing severe cases, which some people have said is potentially an issue, because then you don't really know how many people are being infected.
I heard a rumor that there's likely to be, in the UK, 35,000 people. That's probably gone up since then, but 35,000 people who are actually infected.
So
but just don't know.
So I wouldn't say exact numbers, but
numbers is a,
there will be a lot more
people. It's a tricky thing because they change all the time.
There will be people that are infected that don't know, because people can be asymptomatic, people have mild symptoms, and they're just not being tested. So we don't know. Any other questions?
Is it going to come back annually?
So right now we don't know. It potentially could, because effectively how these things work the flu will mutate slightly and it will come back every year. In this case, it could come back annually, in that it could be spreading slowly around some people and then come back quite in a much bigger way. Later on this year or next year. So potentially it could, but ideally it won't. If we act in the way that we want to.
Yeah. And as you said, it doesn't seem to be mutating.
Yeah, it doesn't seem to be mutating. So the way they would come back annually would be spreading through different populations slowly. And then coming back in a big way. But ultimately, we don't think that's going to happen. We hope it's not going to happen, rather.
Yeah.
On that, spreading through populations, I'm sure a lot of people want to know, what is herd immunity?
Herd immunity. So herd immunity is effectively when enough people in a population are immune to something so that it can't spread effectively. Now, we spoke about this in our vaccines episode, so if you want to know a full explanation of that, go and listen to that. But basically, if you've got enough people in your community that have already had the virus or are just immune to it through a vaccine, then the virus doesn't have enough people to spread through, and it can't spread very well. Herd immunity, what that means is it effectively protects vulnerable people who can't become immune or who can't get vaccines, let's say. So if all the people that can be immune are immune, the virus won't get to the people that can't be immune and will be vulnerable, which is why it's very important for us.
Cool. Nice one, yeah.
It's very cool.
It's very important.
Is there going to be a cure for the coronavirus?
So we are working on a cure right now. So we've got a lot of promising research that's being made. So Jonathan Ball at the University of Nottingham said a vaccine could take a year at least, if not more. Effectively, the reason that it could take quite a long time is because there's a lot of testing that needs to be done for vaccines, or cures rather. And you can't just knock one out.
When you say cure, do you mean vaccine?
Both. So
can you cure a virus? Because I wasn't sure about that.
So you can cure a virus. So you can cure a virus either through, there's two main ways. There are antibodies and small molecules. Antibodies are what your body produces. You can produce those in a lab grown in cells. So we found an antibody that can basically attack the virus and stop it from the infection developing. Then that can basically cure people of the virus that have already got it. And the great thing about antibodies is that they can stick around in a system. So you can use the antibodies as a kind of vaccine. So I could give you the antibodies without knowing if you've got it or not. And then in a few months, if someone tried to infect you, the antibodies would still be there and they would fight off the disease. Wow. So antibodies are a great way to go. Small molecules, they're basically just what they are on the tin. Very small molecules that disrupt the virus, the virus's sort of DNA or RNA.
Like a virus virus.
A virus virus, kind of. It's like throwing rocks into like a machine. It's probably going to break down.
Ah, okay.
So they interact with the virus in very particular ways that stop it from working very well. Those are harder to make effectively. Yeah. So I think people are going down the more antibody route.
Yeah.
So cure is potential, but it would take a long time to test up through animals into humans.
Now, this is a question we've got. I don't understand it, but I'm sure you will. Can it spread from hot and cold environments?
Okay, so what I've heard is people are saying that if it's a hot environment, then it can't spread very well. Or if you're in a really cold place, it can't spread very well. Or if you take a warm bath, that'll stop the virus from getting into you. All of it, absolute nonsense. It takes above 50 degrees to stop that virus. Well above 50 degrees to start killing the virus and denaturing its proteins. You start burning at around 50 degrees in water. Mm-hmm. Cold environments won't stop its spread either. Because even when you're in the cold, your internal body temperature is still consistent.
Yes.
So you're not safe if you're in a hot environment or a cold environment.
Right. Mm-hmm. I have heard people say that they think a pneumonia vaccine could be used to treat it or cure it.
Okay.
How true is that?
So, no. It can cure
it. Didn't it?
So, next question.
No, so vaccines against pneumonia can not protect you against the virus. But what they can do is protect you from getting pneumonia. Now, here's the thing.
Great.
The virus can cause you to get pneumonia and die.
Yes.
So, basically, how the virus works is... it will stimulate your immune response. So viruses infect your cells and then cause them to kind of die and spread it to other cells. And then it will stimulate an immune response, which will get your immune system going. And by the time that your body is like fighting that virus, your immune system's gotten very low. It's worked very hard to try and fight it, which means that you could then die from another complication,
such as pneumonia.
Because it's in your lungs, it's very easy for a bacterial infection or some other kind of infection to happen, like, you know, while your immune system's like recovering from fighting that virus.
Yeah.
So the pneumonia vaccine can stop you from getting pneumonia after you've got the coronavirus. So it can help in that way, but it won't stop you from getting the virus itself.
Yeah, you still got the virus, it just doesn't.
Why are people stockpiling toilet roll?
Good question.
I think people want to control their environment, and toilet roll is a very easy way to feel like you've got control. Also, I saw Hank Green tweet that toilet roll is big, so you really notice when it's not on shelves, which I was thinking about, and I was looking at the shelves, and I was like, oh yeah, all these small things that are gone, I'm not paying attention
not
to.
Paying
but
attention,
the toilet roll takes up a lot of space, and it doesn't, like, you buy one extra packet, you see a visible difference.
Yeah.
You
know? Right.
Yeah, true. I thought it might be to do with the diarrhea symptom.
I don't think that's common enough.
How effective is washing your hands? Because I've heard a lot of people treat it as if like it's the best we can do. But like,
so you've got this thing where people think that they know science,
and it's they'll
Sci guys.
Sci guys.
Hey, they'll tell you, and I might have said this on the previous episode because this was something I didn't know of yet, that using antibacterial soap or using alcohol doesn't make any difference, blah, 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 because it's a virus and it's not a bacteria. Well, yes, it is a virus and not a bacteria. So using, say, antibiotics wouldn't work. But
Or antibacterial soap.
Antibacterial soap might work.
But the antibacterial part is pointless.
Well, it depends. So, see, this is the thing. It depends on how the antibacterial soap works. I think generally antibacterial soap works by having a high alcohol content.
Right.
And or using... soap that will kill bacteria in the same way that it's going to kill this virus.
Yeah.
So effectively the way that soap and alcohol work on this on the virus is that soap works very, very quick way, basically breaks down fats. That's how soap works. It breaks down fats, and that's generally this is the system that it goes by. This virus has a fatty outer coating.
Outer layer.
And if you get rid of that, it can't survive effectively. Yeah. So the soap breaks down the fat around the outside of the virus and effectively kills it. The alcohol. So if you want to use alcohol based sort of gels and stuff,
sanitizers.
Mm-hmm. It needs to be go for 70% around about. I'm fairly sure I read it needs to be about 60 odd percent, 60 63-67% or above.
Mm, right.
In fact, we might show you how to make your own hand sanitizer because it's actually running out. It's very easy to do. Keep your eyes out. It's very easy to do. Keep your eyes out. We'll show you how to do that on Instagram and on
YouTube.
Is it
easy to do?
It's very easy.
But you have to have isopropyl.
You need to have 99% alcohol to do it.
Where can you get that?
Amazon.
Really?
On Amazon?
Yeah.
Cool.
That's very easy.
All right.
Why don't we do it?
Yeah, let's do it.
Okay, let's do it.
There we go. So yeah, using soap does help. Wash your hands with soap. Failing that, use alcohol gel because it does actually kill this virus because it's got fat around it.
Interesting.
Any other questions?
Are masks effective?
So, depends. There's N95 masks, which are effective. If you've got one of those paper sort of surgical masks, they're not. No, don't use it.
What about a scarf wrapped around your mouth?
Okay, so here's the thing. Look,
I've seen a lot of people do that in the tube. Here's the thing.
This is really important. Don't buy masks because people that are working in medicine and people need that are vulnerable need them. Now, the reason that one of those normal papery kind of surgical masks that you've seen, the reason that those are helpful, those are for people that already have the virus and don't want to spread it to other people because if you cough, you're not coughing out into the world, you're coughing into your mask. Mm-hmm. Whereas if you're wearing a mask trying to stop the virus from getting in, the virus is tiny and so are those droplets. The mask is not sealed around your mouth. It's going to get in. It's not going to do that much to stop you from getting it. So leave the mask for people that are actually ill. And the only real mask that can help you protect against the virus is an N95 mask. But again, don't use that because you don't need it. Just stay in your house. Leave it for the people that actually need them.
Yeah.
That's what I've got to say on masks.
Mic drop.
Are we going to carry on doing this podcast?
Of course we're going to carry on doing this podcast. Obviously.
Yeah.
So socially distancing, we're still doing that. Luke gets in his car and drives here and then drives home. We don't interact with anyone apart from Luke. It's basically the same as Luke living in our house.
Which I did do until a few months ago.
So we're going to keep on doing this podcast for as long as we can. Even if one of us comes down with it, we'll do our very best.
We'll figure out a way.
Even if we've got to self-isolate, we'll do it on FaceTime.
We've got mics at our home.
Yeah, so don't worry. You'll have this podcast to keep going throughout this pandemic.
And you've got like 40 something episodes to catch up on if this is your first one.
You really do. Okay, so a little bit of a deviation from our normal outro. I'm going to say that you can find all of the references for this episode in the description, and I would implore you to go through and read them and to watch the videos that I've linked because
definitely do.
They're very informative, and that's the information that you need. That's the information that you should trust. Don't trust information from Twitter. Get all of your information from trusted sources like the World Health Organization, BBC, the government, and the NHS. And above all else, don't spread misinformation. Don't tell people things that you've just heard on Twitter or you heard from a friend. Only talk about stuff that you actually understand from a reputable source. Yeah.
Wise words. As always.
Thank you for listening. You can find the full references for this episode in the description. Subscribe for new episodes every Monday. And why not leave us a nice wee review? You can find and contact us at SciGuysPod on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube. Or you can send us an email at SciGuysPod@gmail.com. You can also support the podcast at patreon.com/SciGuys. Or you can follow me at NotCorey everywhere.
Follow me at Jamkin everywhere.
Don't follow me anywhere. Don't cough on me either.
Goodbye.
Bye.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments. River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.